cause, and we welcome them anyway. So, well, we are so glad to have you here. I'm Bob Weeks. I'm senior pastor here at Verona, and I am also the chairperson of the subcommittee that put this together. And this is overwhelming. If we go on attendance in the past at the old time revivals that the older conference has put on, this is just an outstanding attendance. So thank you all for being here. Apologize, we're trying to keep the air conditioning up with the, been running it all night, freezing, but the open doors and things are kind of, we're going to try to take care of some of that. And again, if you want to go over into the fellowship hall at any time, the food is over there. It is really cool over in the fellowship hall, and it might just be a relief for you to go over. And you know what? I have a feeling the bishop might just get up and wander over there during her preaching. That is a possibility. So to those folks over there, we have not forgotten you. You are part of our congregation today. There are some folks that have name tags that say, I can help on them. If you see that, it's kind of a blue thing. Those are members of the church who can help you find the outhouses. This is an old-time revival, so they'll get you out to the field. We have 5 acres. No. I think a lot of you have already located the restrooms. There is a family restroom over here that's handicap accessible, and there are... it has to be adjusted. Tell them I'm going to do that in a minute. They don't have to see me anyways, as long as they can hear. Okay. Hey, Lydia, on the white projector control there, it has cam and PC. Push it towards the controller for the projectors and press cam on that. Okay, you're not seeing anything because it's happening over there. Okay, so that's why. Okay, hopefully it's happening over there. That's called faith. Okay. And if it's not, we'll take care of that in a moment. We want to thank the churches of the Harrisonburg District for providing the food, and also the Verona congregation for providing volunteers. And, of course, Bishop Lewis and Michael Berkeley here. Michael has been here. He did our music for the our 11 o'clock service this morning, so he's been here just giving and giving of himself and his musical talents. So. We'll be locking him up later so he can't go back to Richmond. We're going to keep him here. Some of you may be looking for an internet connection. You can't get one until after 6. This is an old-time revival. You shouldn't be doing internet anyway. So, yeah. If you have an emergency need for internet, the closest and strongest one to this is VUMC Daycare. It's the guest connection. You'll come up like that and use the password VUMC, and that will get you on if you have to. But we are going to have an offering at the break as you go into the fellowship hall. At the doors, we'll have some folks there with plates, collection plates, and you can put in an offering to the annual conference offering. We noticed that at annual conference, we only received $118,000 of the $200,000. So we need to contribute more to that. I think it was up to $134,000. So it's making progress. So today we're going to get it to $200,000. Okay, that's just $66,000 more, and we are there. Okay? So let me see. Was there anything else? Oh, yeah, a whole other page here. Now, I just want us to, before we open in prayer, and then we're going to open with music and praise before the bishop addresses us. I just want to say something about the idea of an old-time revival. For some people, that may be being out in a tent, which would be a little bit hot in July, and weather affects that. But a lot of revivals have been held inside churches over the years, and you may have seen up on the screen the Hockey Mount? What was that church? There was some church here. Rocky Hawk? Okay, you got it. Okay, that's right. That they had, it was a scene of people outside the church standing there after a revival. You notice all the men were in suits? And you notice all the little girls were in white and the little boys, it was everybody dressed the same. And so old-time revivals took a lot of different faces. But we don't need to go back to the past. There are things in the past that we need to get past. But what this is about is stirring us up for that new thing that we've been talking about, for that new thing to happen, okay? If we can get inspiration from songs of the past, and God's movement of the Holy Spirit in the past, in this country, and in other places in this world, if that can inspire us and give us a clue as to what we're doing wrong, that we don't have that revival, then that's a good thing. But we do not stay in the past. And so what you're getting today is the heart of an old-time revival. Good, good music and praise that lifts our hearts and opens us up to God's Spirit. And then inspired preaching that is going to challenge us to take another look at how we are living our lives. Are we living them as people who are truly taking up that cross daily and following Jesus Christ and being servants to the world? Are we doing that? So that kind of preaching is what we can expect today. And we just hope that the close fellowship that you have today will inspire you too. Earlier on, some of y'all weren't here. I said if everybody loses 10 pounds real quick, we can slide some more people in here. That would be great. But we are so glad that you are with us today. We're going to begin with the prayer, and then we're going. Are we on the song screen? Are we there on the? Are you ready to start music here in a minute? Okay, go to that first song. Just the first. There you go. We're going to begin with Revive Us Again here in a moment. But I'm going to ask everybody, we're going to stand for the first couple of songs, and then you can sit as you will. Stand as you are able, and then sit as you feel like you need to sit, okay? As a spirit is willing, but the body is weak, okay? So let's stand for Revive Us Again. And we're going to pray first. Holy and gracious Lord, what a privilege it is to see so many brothers and sisters from all over the conference together in one place and to feel, Father, that connection that we talk about all the time. Lord, the true connection is not something that's drawn out on paper. It's not something that's denominational. It is truly a connection that comes through your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that binds us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we pray that this day the Spirit will truly fill not just this physical place, but our hearts, our minds, our souls, that in all ways, Lord, that we might feel your presence. Lord, we pray for Christians all over Virginia, all over the United States, all over the world, that we would come to see each other as one in Jesus Christ, and that this revival would not be something that would happen simply here in the limitations of time and space in Virginia, but, Father, that this revival would spread beyond our wildest imaginations. Lord, we thank you that you have promised us that if we come to you in sincere prayer and we lift up our hearts to you, Lord, that you will indeed revive us again. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. And amen.
Hath borne all our sins and hath sinned. fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. In this pilgrim way, on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Be seated for this one. Here we go.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Power in the blood, power in the blood. Mourning, cleansing on Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Wonder.
one more chorus. There is power, power, wonder-working power.
In the flesh of us, Lord,
of the Lamb. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well.
Once more with just the voices. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. And did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the that I have done, he groaned upon that.
exalt my heart in thankfulness and melt mine eyes to tears at the cross.
Pastor Bob has some words for this next one, I believe.
I just want to say, let's hear it for our choir. Y'all, thank you. Y'all have an anthem in a moment, right? Is that correct? What have you been doing all this time sitting up here? Okay. This next song, and I have a message for Shauna. Shauna, we need offering plates. And I think they're locked up down in the treasurer's office. So if you can delegate or switch places, that's good. Okay, she's doing the soundboard, so she's going to leave for me. Okay. This next song, this was my idea, Jesus Hold My Hand. And how many of you know Blessed Jesus Hold My Hand? Okay, those of you who really know this, you're going to have to, you know this has the parts, kind of the high and the low voices, or the men and the women's voices. So what Michael is doing is the women's voice, okay? So he'll be leading that part. Everybody else, I am going to try, okay, to do this. Michael thinks I can do this, but I'm not sure. So I'll kind of catch in on the men's, and I know Stan here, I think I've heard you do this, Stan, so you should sing out. So try to pick up those voices and join in with it. It's a great song. Okay.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be wholly thine and sing redemption song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go, I daily meet the foe. Blessed Jesus. Jesus, hold my hand.
Amen. Let's give God some more praise in the house. Hallelujah. 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 And give God some praise for my district superintendent, Tommy Herndon, and his lovely wife, Carolyn, and Reverend Spencer here, who's the older adult council, and this choir. Amen. And Bob Weeks and the Verona UMC hospitality. Let's give God some praise in the house. Now, if any of you heard me preach at annual conference, now y'all do know I'm going to be moving all around. Amen? Amen. So I hope it doesn't bother anybody. I'm a mover. I feel contained. I tell folks I feel contained behind the pulpit, so I like to be with the people. Amen? How many of you all are just glad to be here in the house of the Lord? Amen. 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 I am always glad when I come into the house of the Lord, because there's something about when you come into the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's just something about when you walk in into the house of the Lord. And even if you are here in a preaching moment or a teaching moment or here for Bible study or whatever, it is just something powerful about when I come into God's presence. And I want to say to the folks, I think they're over in the fellowship hall, right? Amen? Can y'all see me back there? Amen. I may end up over there. Who knows about me? Amen. Hallelujah. But let us go to God in prayer. And if you can, if you will grab the hand of your neighbor. Some of you have may heard me say this, that there is something powerful about touch. And I am a scientist by degree before I went to seminary, and I read a lot of science stuff. And I've read that there are weeks that may go by that a person literally may have not been touched by another human being. And so I don't take for granted the power of touch. So if you can grab the hand of your neighbor and let us go to God in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And we thank you, God, for a day that when we woke up this morning, we didn't know our different destinations, but God, we are thankful and grateful that you have allowed us to arrive here safely. Now, God, we come as good old Methodists, singing hymns and praising and preaching, God. And God, we just thank you for our heritage, our tradition. And God, I want to pray for the hands that may be on the right and the left of us. Squeeze into these hands more power. Squeeze into these hands love. Squeeze into these hands joy and faith and meekness and temperance. And so, God, we just say thank you for this old-time revival. We thank you, God, that our souls will be revived. We thank you, God, that no matter whatever we came in here with, God, we will not go out the same. And so, God, we pray for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to begin to already move, and it's already moving because, God, your word says that when two or three are together, you're here in the midst. And so, God, we thank you, and we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to rest, rule, and abide over us. God, we pray right now for renewed spirit and renewed energy, and we pray right now for our families. We pray for our loved ones. We pray, God, if there's any sick among us, God, we pray, God, that after this message, God, that they will feel raised up. And so, God, we just say thank you. We say hallelujah because hallelujah is the highest praise. And so, God, we just say thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God said amen, 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 and amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Mark 16. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, and if you can, stand for the reading of the gospel, if you can, stand for the reading of the gospel. And the word of God said, and he said to them, go, say go, go into all the world and proclaim, say proclaim. And in some translations, it will say preach. Preach the good news. Say good news. Good news. To the whole creation. Say creation. Creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved. Say save. Save. But the one who does not believe will be condemned. Say condemned. Condemned. The word of God for the precious people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, take Jesus to the streets. I want you to turn to someone else and say, oh, neighbor, the bishop said, take Jesus to the streets. Now, y'all know we got to do one more for the Holy Ghost. Turn to someone else and say, oh, neighbor, take Jesus to the streets. Now let's give God some praise, a hand clap of praise. Take Jesus to the streets. My brothers and sisters, I was told a story by a colleague that a church, a United Methodist church, caught on fire. Kind of like this painting up here. And there was a painting of Jesus just like that, which hung unnoticed in the fellowship hall, was in danger of being destroyed. Now, this particular painting of Jesus had been in the church for approximately 20 years, say 20 years. And when the church caught on fire, two faithful United Methodist trustees, say trustees, trustees rushed into the church and proceeded to rescue this painting of Jesus. And as the fire trucks flew down the street, many people in the community and the members came out to help, but unfortunately was forced to watch this church burn slowly. And after several hours of trying to save the church, the fire was eventually put out by the local fire department. But interestingly, people from the community and the members of this church began to gather around this picture of Jesus as if they had never, ever seen it before. The leaders of the church were baffled and amazed that this one picture of Jesus was getting so much attention. Many people began to talk about this particular painting of Jesus that had hung in the fellowship hall for 20 years in the same old spot. And a crowd of members commented to those two faithful United Methodist trustees how glad they were able to go in and save this painting of Jesus. Now, as the members were looking in amazement, the senior pastor, say senior pastor, the senior pastor sarcastically replied, "It was only when this church literally caught on fire and we moved Jesus into the streets that the members noticed and became interested." Can I get an amen? Amen. See, beloved, all too often we are oblivious to what is going on in our churches and in our communities. And I want to say to you this afternoon that if we want to stop the hemorrhaging of the United Methodist membership decline, if we want to eradicate the problems in our communities, if we want to be disciples who are lifelong learners, who influence others to serve, I'm here to tell you that we must take Jesus to the streets. And can I get an amen? See, many of our churches will still have our Lord and Savior locked behind the four walls and hanging in our fellowship halls, Northex, and Sunday school classes, and have never introduced Christ to anyone in their communities. And as a result of our Christian behavior, our churches are still stagnant. We've lost our zeal for outreach. Our worship is boring. We battle between worship wars, contemporary, traditional, or blended. We lack congregational transformation. And we are preaching the word Sunday after Sunday. And people feel sometimes that the word that we are preaching is irrelevant. But I'm here today to tell you that we've got to take Jesus out of these four walls into the street. Can I get an amen? My brothers and sisters, I stand here this afternoon as a proven witness that I pastored a church in McDonald, Georgia, and they began to believe that the word of evangelism and discipleship was contagious. Now, what does contagious mean? Contagious has been characterized as catching, communicable by contact, or infection. Infectious. And to become contagious once again, I believe that as good old United Methodists, we must understand what I call the grassroots of evangelism. We must understand that it is our responsibility to get outside of these walls and to make disciples. Why is it that our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, and people in our churches are not transformed? And I cast the vision at annual conference that our responsibility in the Virginia Conference is that we are to make disciples that are lifelong learners who influences others to serve. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, they tell me that evangelism is simply sharing the gospel message, the good news. Say good news. Good news with those who are unbelievers. And evangelism is proclaiming of the good news, the message that Jesus Christ died for our sins. But see, don't nobody like to preach about sin anymore. Come on now. Nobody wants to preach about sin anymore. Pastors are too afraid to preach about sin anymore. Too afraid that they're going to write the bishop. And like I said, go ahead and preach on sin, because y'all in Virginia really believe in writing the bishop. Can I get an amen? They really do. But I said at annual conference that as long as we are biblically and theologically sound, the sky is the limit. See, the definition. mission that I have embraced in my ministry for evangelism has been described as one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. That's an old, old definition. And see, as Bible scholars, we know that there has been great arguments on the validity of verses 9 through 20, known as the longer ending to this gospel. And Mark 16, 1 through 8 stops at the empty tomb without further explanation. And the last 12 verses are missing from the oldest manuscript of Mark's gospel. See, beloved, whether we agree or disagree with the scholars, the gospel reveals insight on the Great Commission. And the Great Commission in Christian tradition is the instruction of the resurrected Jesus to his disciples that they spread the teachings to all of the nations of the world. It has become a tenet in Christian theology, emphasizing mission work, evangelism, and baptism. Beloved, Mark says to go, say go.
Go.
Go into the world. And in this context, go is defined to move out or to lead. And as believers, we are called to lead others to Christ. However, as believers, we fail to share our faith in the event that we may offend somebody. Now, I don't know about you. I'm born in South Georgia, and every Saturday, the Jehovah's Witness would knock on our doors. And I'm ashamed to say it, but I can say this because my father is dead and gone to heaven. We would hide from the Jehovah's Witness. True story. We would hide, and I would say, Daddy, why are we hiding? Why can't we offend? Why can't we defend the Jesus that we serve? Come on now. And literally, my dad would tell us, close the blinds. See, some of us are simply afraid to let folks know that we serve the risen Savior. See, I don't know about y'all, but I don't serve a dead Savior. I serve a risen Savior. Because, see, it's the risen Savior that says that he got up with all power in his hands. And the same power that he got up with, he gave that power to you and me. Can I get an amen? See, now, could it be that the reason why we don't share the Lord is, could it be that our Monday through Friday work face do not line up with our Sunday church face? I'm going to meddling now. But George Barner, and some of you have heard me say this, George Barner, who we study in seminary, has reported that we meet 7 unchurched people daily, and that 87% of all Christians were led to Christ by a friend. Sometimes it is very hard to grasp in this text is that Jesus is not giving us an option as believers. He's giving us an imperative command to move out of our surroundings, to move out of our comfort zones, to move out behind our church walls, and to find our mission field and go fishing. Where is your mission field? Your mission field may not look like you. But it's okay. Your mission field may stretch you and your congregation. See, I told my clergy and my laity, Tommy, when I was a district superintendent, that if you are excited about serving our Lord and Savior, if you're excited about ministries in your church, if you're excited about making disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, then you've got to get out of the walls and take Jesus to the streets. Beloved, the Bible tells us in Matthew 10:7 to go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 29:9 says, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite. Luke 14:23 says, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that your house may be full. All of our churches in the Virginia Conference should be filled like this. Why is that? It's because I am just a firm believer is that there are people out there who have never heard the gospel message. And the pastor is only one person. And I believe that sheep begot sheep. It's more of you than the pastor. And you are supposed to get outside of these walls and let folks know that Jesus died for your sins and my sins. It was Jesus that went down on Friday, stayed down on Saturday, but they tell me on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Let me ask you a question. Today, if you would have driven to your church and parked in the same parking spot, and your church building was physically not there, other than the pastor and the members, would anybody miss you? If your church physically was not on the corner or on the block or took up the block, if your church physically was missing, would anybody miss you? Come on now. I like my brother back here. He said, that's a question. Would anybody miss you? Would they miss your food pantry ministry? Would they miss the UMW? Would they miss the UMM? Would they miss the youth department? Would they miss VBS? Would anybody miss you? See, Barna, author of The Second Coming of the Church, argues convincingly that the church must reinvent itself or face virtual oblivion in the mid-21st century. I'm a firm believer that evangelism starts with us and ends with Jesus Christ. And as believers, our task is to testify of the truth of the gospel to all nations. Come on. We are to testify about the truth because the truth shall set us free. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, so often our churches will focus only on what I like to call local evangelism and neglect our African, Latino, American, and Asian and sisters, but Luke 24:47 says, repentance and remission of sins shall be preached into his name in all nations. The Bible describes God's kingdom as an inclusive kingdom, for in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith. See, the word also tells us in this text to preach the good news. Say to your neighbor, good news. See, I want to let you in on a secret. I tell people that when I started preaching, this text, Tommy, was my signature text. And just like John Wesley, I would preach to anybody who would listen to me. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, to preach the word. The NRSV translation says, proclaim the message, be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. I have shared before that preaching is defined as one who proclaims the gospel. Whether you are clergy or laity, you have a responsibility to preach. And the word preach has a threefold meaning. First of all, to preach means to tell the word of God by mouth. To preach means to live the gospel message, and to preach means to demonstrate the gospel. As clergy, and where are my clergy in the house? Raise your hand. As clergy, let me set you free. You are to tell the word by mouth. Paul writes in Romans 10:4, how shall they hear without a preacher? Preachers, I need y'all to preach. Amen? I need you to preach to God's people like you are losing your mind. I need you to preach. I don't need you to tell them a bunch of stories. I don't need you to tell them about the basketball UVA scores. I need you to preach the gospel because the world is dying in a handbasket, as they say. Going to hell in a handbasket. I need you to preach to God's people. Preach until their hearts. A mentor told me, Sharma, if you want your people to know about faith, you preach on faith. You preach on faith. You live faith. You preach it so when they get up, they will know that you have faith, but more importantly, they will have faith. We also have a mandate to live, say live, the gospel message. See, I believe if we can't preach what we haven't lived, living, or will live. Do you know that yourself, you're the best sermon that a person can see? And also, we have a mandate to demonstrate, say demonstrate, the gospel message. What use is it for us to stand behind the sacred desk of a pulpit, exegete the text, meaning pull out from the text, and not allow our lives to be a sermon for our congregations? I just want to say again that we've got to take Jesus to the streets. Now, bishops, why is that? I'm glad you asked. See, we've got to tell folks about God's goodness. Can I get an amen? Amen. We got to tell people about God's amazing grace. We've got to tell them, I was once lost, but now I'm found. You got to tell folks that I was blind, but now I see. We got to tell folks not only about God's grace, but we got to tell folks about God's mercy. We got to tell people about Jesus' unconditional love, that he loved me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for me and you so that we will be saved. We got to tell somebody that when I was lost, Jesus found me. When I was lonely, he comforted me. When I was sick in my bed, he healed me. We've got to take Jesus to the streets. We've got to let folks know that it is the Jesus we serve that picked me up and turned me around. We cannot be afraid, Methodists, to let folks know that it was Jesus that died. It was not us that died. That we need a Savior. And when you have a Savior, he'll save you from all of your sins. We've got to take Jesus to the streets. We got to get outside of these walls. We got to ignite people again. We got to have passion. We can't be these old dead old Methodists. We got to do things different. away. We got to take the old, merge it with the new. Because just like I stood on a chair, and I promise you I ain't standing nowhere today. Just like I stood at annual conference and said to the young folks, I need your young people. I need your young adults. I need your older adults. It is going to take an intergenerational ministry to do the things that we need to do to conquer the sin and the Satan of this world. We cannot be afraid to say, I believe in the Bible. Y'all do know that it's not popular to believe in the Bible now. Come on. You don't have some people who say that the Bible was back then. Well, the devil is alive. The Bible is right now. And we need the Bible more now than ever before. The scriptures tell us to test the spirit. By the Spirit. And when I say that we, as long as we're biblically and theologically sound, the sky is the limit. And Michael, believe it or not, in the chat, I had somebody to say, Bishop, what do you mean? I said, biblically, the Bible. Theologically, Wesleyan. Come on now. Biblically and theologically sound. And we cannot be afraid to share this gospel message. You all just can't come here in the old time revival and go back to your churches the same. And as Methodists, we've got to reclaim the Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit. And like I tell folks, if you're a little scared of the Holy Spirit, just pin down your wig and your weave. And if you go to shouting, it's okay, because we were once called shouting Methodists. Amen? We have good theology, you all. People just don't know it. Revive us. And I said this before. The denomination, we don't need a revival. We need a movement. See, a revival, you'll come in here and just feel good for a moment. But a movement will be like I told you all in September, will stir you up. And we need stirring in the Methodist Church. Young people right here, I need you to help us stir up some of our dead, yes, old, yes, traditional, yes, churches, yes. Come on. And I don't need y'all to be afraid. Because we can learn from you. Because what we've got to do is learn to replace ourselves. Come on, amen. Somebody say, I got your back. That's right. Have the bishop's back. Amen. That's right. Because in times like these, we can't keep Jesus in here. Y'all, folks are spiritually dying. They really are. People need to know hope. People need to know that when they're down, that they can read the word, and the word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. People need to know when they're sick, that God is the Jehovah Rapha, our healer. People need to know that blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste, a glory divine. That song says, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. We got to take Jesus to the streets. Get him out of the walls here. Get him out of the walls. And you got to get out of the walls. And then some people will say, well, Bishop, I can't do what you do. That's okay. Just be you. Amen. We got to preach the good news. We got to teach the good news. And some will say, well, we haven't had a church member join in a long time. As I said at annual conference, go find somebody. Go disciple somebody. For the next 3 years, I'm going to be challenging you to get outside of your walls. I'm going to be challenging you to be disciples, to be a learner. I'm going to be challenging you to be a lifelong learner. As long as we have air in our bodies, we need to be learning. Even as your bishop, I'm still learning. I don't know it all. And as I said at annual conference, and we've got to influence others to serve. This is what you all said to me. And as I said at annual conference, who are you influencing? Who's your circle of influence? Because we will underestimate and believe that people we've been knowing for years have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we've got to serve. Why? Because Jesus said that he came not to be served, but to serve. And let me let you in on a secret. Next year at annual conference, we coming out of the convention center. And all 3,000 of us, we going into Hampton, and we going to show that we can take Jesus to the streets by serving. Come on. We should not go to Hampton year after year, sleep in their hotels, eat up their food, and not leave a Jesus residue. Come on now. That's right. And they're going to know us by our shirts that's going to have big old Virginia conference. And they're going to know by our servanthood. And they're going to say, what's up with them crazy people? And y'all going to say, it's all right. Because we are disciples who are lifelong learners who influences others to serve. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the people of God said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Let's give God some praise in the house. Hallelujah. 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 Bob, I think I'm supposed to call you back. Amen. Amen. Now on the program, they got me preaching twice. But believe it or not, I did bring another sermon, so we'll see about it. When I saw that, I'm like, they're joking, right? Amen. But we'll see. Bob?
My congregation begs me to preach twice. Yeah. Bring another one, right? Yeah.
Amen.
I did three today. So.
You did three today? Well, hey, if you can do three, I can do two.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Right.
So stay tuned. I got sermon number two. Amen.
I want to publicly repent of any criticism I have ever made of the camera people at annual conference. Because I tell you what, you got so far under there in my camera, I lost you. And I'm like, where is she? Where's the bishop? I thought we...
I'm here.
You could have been raptured and I would have just... been here. So we are going to take a break. Now, here's the thing I could never figure out. If you leave this room, will you get your seats back? Because there are people over there. And they have envy of where you're at, except I keep telling them it's very cool over there. It is cool until y'all get in there and crowd it up. There is food over there. There's refreshments. Have some time just to get with each other and talk. And then come on back in. We'll have some more praise. And then we'll hear from the bishop one more time, okay?
Amen.
Anything else? Anything I've overlooked? Anything anybody knows? Yep. Yep. Okay. I was in business for 20 years, so this is natural. Okay. This will cure anything that you have. Okay. Right. No, this is honey. This is produced on, we have a 5-acre field over here, and then we put some hives elsewhere around Verona here. So we produce this at the church. All the proceeds go to missions. And so if you'd like to buy, it's $8 a pound, and we've got some in the fellowship hall. So go ahead and get some. It's local honey. It's raw. We haven't done anything to it. So it's good stuff, okay? So just like God intended. So as you go out, we're going to have the offering plates there for you to give. I need some folks to hold these offering plates here. Here you go. Older adult council. Okay, and let's pray. This isn't a formal meal, but let's give thanks for the food that we're about to share together and for those folks who work so hard to bring it. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon this time of fellowship and food, and pray, Lord, that as we come back, we will be refreshed, that we might continue to give you the praise and to hear your word proclaimed. Lord, get rid of the stubborn parts of our hearts that just hold out and say, well, nothing's going to change. I'm just going to leave here. It was nice. It was good, but nothing's going to change. Lord, let's just be really honest with you right now. We need to hear this. We need to hear your word. We need to hear the bishop who you were speaking through, and we need, Lord, to change. Because if there is not change, Lord, there is not transformation. If there is no transformation, then we just remain in our sin. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ who came to show us the way. May we follow him in everything. And as we share this food and fellowship again, may, Lord, our hearts be warmed by you. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Yeah.